right, welcome to part three of our series entitled Closer. And I just want to give a shout out here. There's a lot of representation here in the house. I just want to give a shout out to UNC Charlotte, everybody. Can I get a witness? All right. So excited about it. I'm actually excited. I know you, now don't judge me here. I'm excited about the marching band. I've been hearing the drum beats across the Great Wall of 49 out here, and it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm so tempted to go on into that and explain that to you, but I got some history in that. But anyhow, loving it, and I got season tickets this year to the football game, so I'm ready. And guess what? I'm sitting close to the marching band, too. But anyhow, I'm really excited about it. And I welcome all of you in UNC Charlotte students. So glad that you are in the house. You can tell there's a lot of excitement around here. Hope that you'll check a lot of this out that we're talking about in our Crosspoint news. You can go to crosspointworshipcenter.com, and you can see this video again and just kind of catch up on what all's happening around here. Really, really some good stuff. We're actually in a season right now. And part of my job as a pastor is sort of help navigate people and really take you on a journey, but also kind of to navigate you through the seasons of life. There are different seasons of our life. And in fact, there's seasons of the year, and we're in one right now. Sometimes called summer slump. It's August. We've been busy all through the summer doing a lot of activities, and sometimes you kind of lose focus. And so we set aside a time in August just to really get close to God, hence the title Closer in this series. But it's really a time not only just for us to refocus and realign ourselves spiritually, but also in anticipation of the fall season. Because the fall is a time of harvest. Now, we know that happens in the natural, but it's also a very well-known fact that even in the spiritual, it's a time of harvest. More people come to Christ in the harvest season. Can't really explain that, but it just happens. More people are going to come to church. More people are just going to settle down. They've been all over, you know, from here to Germany and back, you know, and all over the world. You know? And so, but you're coming back and getting kind of plugged in. And so there's a lot of activity to happen. So having said that, it's a great time to invite your friends this fall. We're going to be doing a series coming up in September. It's going to be very life-giving. It would be a perfect time to invite your friends and just going to be presenting the gospel in a very practical way that will really help. And so if you're thinking, when's a good time for me to invite, it's in the fall. It's coming up, right? And in fact, right now. And so, but right now we're setting aside this time really to pray also along with this series Closer. It's 21 days of prayer. And we do this actually twice a year. We do this at the beginning of the year, a time of prayer and fasting. And then in August, we feel like we just need to get recharged again, and we do 21 days of prayer in August. Now, in January, it's 21 days of prayer and fasting. For some, in August, it's 21 days of prayer and feasting. But actually, you know, we just encourage you to do what the Lord will have you do there. But we do want you just to take this time to draw closer to the Lord. And so, awesome time that we have where we can join with, you heard about it, thousands of other people around the world. You'll see people that are getting up on our live feed at 6 a.m. in the morning. It's 7 for us. And that's just encouragement, that alone, just seeing that many people showing up, live band, everything, just there, you know, worshiping for and praying and just going all in for an hour before they're off to work. And so you can do that by way of going online at 7 a.m. our time, or you can go later in the day because it's archived for 24 hours, as you just heard. So I wanted to just kind of accent that and just encourage you to join with us in that. It's just a great time. And so along with this, we're doing this series called Closer. In fact, if you'd like, you can pull out your message notes. Those are there in your worship guide. I've got a little fill in the blanks for you there. And we also, by the way, encourage you, we have binders out at our connection area that you can grab. Those are for the taking. They're free to use, and you can take that and stay with us. And even in the next series, you can collect all these, and this will be a great resource for you. So we're in this series, A Closer, with a goal in mind, and that's really that we understand what biblical worship is. And I think sometimes we've got in our mind what worship is, and different ones of us have different ideas of what that looks like. But I want us to really look at what it means biblically to understand what worship is. The first week, we talked about the fact that we are all worshipers. There's something that you really, really love doing. There's something that's going to get your attention, that's going to get your time, going to get your affection, and there's something that you really love a lot. I mean, it may be your car, it may be a job, it may be sports, it may be football. That season's here. It may be shopping, hunting, it may be your girlfriend. I don't know. It may be music, but there's something that thing is getting a response and an expression toward it. And how do you know what you're worshiping? Well, just follow the trail. You can follow the trail of time, of money, of energy, of what your conversation is about, what your schedule looks like. And there you can follow the trail and you can know whether you're worshiping and what you're worshiping. And really, all of us are worshiping. Whether you are a Christian or not, we're all worshiping because we're designed to worship it. And so God doesn't mind you having other loves in your life, football, hobby, whatever that is, but he does mind if those things take a higher place in your life than he does. He says that you're not to have any gods before me or above me. And oftentimes we've exchanged this. And so we talked about that in the first week. I encourage you to go online, crosspointworshipcenter.com. We've got these messages, all these messages archived, and the message notes there that you can download. And you can listen to that if you missed that. And talk about how we've exchanged things. Well, last week we actually went a little deep. We went on the deep end of the pool. I told you today we're going to be a little more practical. But last week was pretty much a real deep, lot of teachy, theological stuff. We actually talked about Lucifer. Y'all don't run for the door here, okay? And we call him the devil now, you know, but he was an angel, a fallen angel. But he was in charge of worship. He was the first worshiper. I really encourage you to go back and listen to that message. It's just some good content there. And how he's thrown out of heaven. But what happened was when he was thrown out of heaven, he got kicked out of his job, and there was an opening for a new worship leader, everybody. And guess who's the new worship leader? We are. Isn't that good news? So we are the new worshipers that God has made us for worship. And we are made for worship. Let me give you this. It's not in your notes. This is an extra here. And that is that we were made to worship. And we can't stop doing this. You're going to find something to invest your time and energy and passions into. You're going to worship something. The question is, what is that? And so this week, I want us to really talk about what this looks like and get a picture of this. When you talk about worship service, I think a lot of times an image comes to people's mind immediately. And that image may be different for different people, even different cultures, different generations. And we all got this idea of what worship looks like. And so my concern is that we oftentimes get the wrong picture in our mind. And it's our tradition. Everybody's tradition. We're talking about tradition. It's our tradition of what we are comfortable with or what we're used to. We get that in our mind. And so today I'm going to kind of challenge you a little bit about try to get a clean slate on this. Because honestly, my tradition had to be challenged as well, okay? So I'm going to kind of mess with your tradition, all right? I got messed with, you're going to get messed with, all right? So we're going to mess with some tradition here. But I want to understand really what it means to worship God's way. And so what would that look like to worship God's way? Does God have a way that he desires us to worship? And so we're going to look at this together. In fact, let's look at Luke chapter 19. Because again, there's certain people that believe God has to be worshipped in a certain way. I want to kind of address that. In Luke chapter 19, what is happening here is on an event called Palm Sunday. It was a week before Easter. They didn't call it Easter back then, but which comes to be known as Easter, but it's the week before that, Jesus had this, what they call a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus was very popular. The reason they called it Palm Sunday was they didn't throw confetti on him, but they threw, they actually had palm trees that they would cut, and they would either wave that at him or put it in his path as he came in on that donkey. Remember the story? And he's riding in. And he's real popular. But it didn't take long for that crowd to turn against him. The next week, by the end of that week, he's being crucified. But here he was coming into the city, and this all is happening. And look at Luke chapter 19, verse 37. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So all of this crowd began to respond. And some of them, one version of that says that they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." And so when this happened, some of the Pharisees in the crowd, now that was the religious group, said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, Jesus, they're not worshiping right. They shouldn't be doing it that way. We have a liturgy, we have a form, we have a pattern, we have tradition, we have things that they should not be doing this. And Jesus' response was this. He said, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I want you to notice this. There were some religious leaders that were actually offended with what was happening. And they were saying, "Jesus, they're doing it wrong." But actually, Jesus' response was, in essence, "I like this. I don't know if I like that, but I like this. I like what they're doing here." And so Jesus didn't condemn it. He was encouraging it. He said, if they don't do this, guess what? The stones are going to cry out. And so there was this group called the Pharisees. There's always been this group, okay, that says it's got to be done a certain way. You know, you're in church. Shh, quiet, hush. Don't do that. Be still. Be reverent. You're in church. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we're concerned about how we act in here, but this building is not holy. The Bible says that we became the temple of God. It's you and I that are holy. And what would it look like if we actually went out in our lives out from this and lived reverent, holy lives? But instead, we live any way we want to, you know, whatever, and then come in here, oh, we're in the house, we got to be holy. And Jesus turned around and said, it's not about that. It's about you living a holy life. And the Bible says even your body is a living sacrifice, presented holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm getting a little preachy there, but okay, I'll calm down here. And so, but you know, what kind of worship does God like? I word it to you this way. What is God's style of worship? I believe God's style of worship is actually very, very, very traditional. You see, our definition of tradition has changed. And so what did worship look like thousands of years ago? What did that look like? And see, God wrote a book actually about worship called the Psalms. It was authored by several authors, David being the primary author. And the book of Psalms means basically songs. It was songs of worship. And by the way, it's the biggest book in the Bible. I think God had a reason for that. He's trying to say something there. In fact, it's got one of the longest chapters in the Bible inside that longest book in the Bible. I believe God did this on purpose. There's expressions of worship oftentimes in this, though, that you see in the Psalms that doesn't look like our Sunday tradition of today, but actually looks more like Saturday. It looks more like our football games. If you really look at it, there was a lot going on. I mean, there was hand clapping. There was hands being raised. There's shouts going on. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like UNC Charlotte football to me. If that's not good enough for you, Panthers, I don't know, or trying to make it to the Super Bowl again or whatever. I mean, and you get your team colors on, and you're going all in, and you're, I mean, if you read the book of Psalms, it's more like that. There was clapping, there was shouting, there was dancing, there was instruments of noise, of exuberance, right? What does football look like? Come on, you get out of there 4 hours early for your tailgate party. Or a team that may not win, okay, I'm not saying who that may be, and you go all in and you get your colors on and they call you a fan, you're a fan, and then you do that same thing on Sunday morning and they call you a fanatic. I mean, think about it, something's just wrong about that. Heard a story about these hound dogs, You know what hound dog? Anybody know what hound dogs are? Y'all too young to know what hee-haw is, but anyway, I'm trying to connect here. But there's these hound dogs, you know, they land on this porch and they cross the street from this church, and it's kind of one of those wild churches, all right? You know, I mean, it's all in, right? And so these hound dogs are laying there on the porch, and two of them, and they're laying there in the head. It can't get the head up, you know, too lazy to get the head up. One of them, you know, picks his head up, flops it over on the other side, looks over that church. And the other one takes it, flops it over, and looks over that church. And one of them says, you know, and they're all over there going crazy, and he says, you know, if we act like that, they'd worm us. You know they would. They'd worm us. Now, some of y'all, that was funnier, y'all. Give me, come on. That's funny. I don't care what you say. Some of y'all probably thinking, if I go all in, they're going to worm me. No, listen, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. We're going to work through this. We want to find what is the biblical form of worship. So here's what we're going to look at. In the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And we've tried to translate those, and we've done a good job, but oftentimes, you know, in the Hebrew especially, the words are very pictorial. Sometimes it takes a paragraph to explain a word in Hebrew. And so when we try to pull out one word, it doesn't really do it justice. And so this word praise in the Psalms, actually, there's seven different words for the word that we call praise. You'll read it in your Bible as praise, but if you look back in the Hebrew, actually, there were seven different words for that words. And so today we're going to have a Hebrew lesson. Y'all welcome to campus, right? Welcome back to class. All right. So we're going to have a class. We're going to study some Hebrew lesson. So get these words right. Write them down. All right, here we go. And the first word of that praise means is the word Hallel. Hallel. And you might recognize this is where we get the word hallelujah. Or you might say it, hallelujah. I don't know where you're from. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now the last part of that word is actually where we get the word God, Yah, okay? And then that first part is to pray. So we're actually Hallel God. And so, and look at this. In every pastor's library in the world, there is a Hebrew and Greek dictionary called a lexicon. And in that lexicon is this definition of Hallel: to rave, boast, celebrate, and get this, to be clamorously foolish. To be clamorously foolish. Kind of quiet in here, isn't it? And this is the style God says, I like it when you get a little crazy. Okay? Now, again, I'm not saying we're trying to draw attention to ourselves and off of Jesus, okay? I mean, there's an order to things, but he says, I like it when you go all in. I'd like you all to be kind of all in, right? And so just celebrate. You know, when we show up, that just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, we do that for our football team. I'm sorry, I'm going to do a lot of football analogy. Just get over it, all right? So we do that, right, for our football team. I mean, like, whoa, you know, whoa, yeah. Well, don't you know that God would like to be acknowledged as well, that we're all into him, that we're saying, oh, my, he's everything. He's all. And so it just makes sense. I just think this low-key, oftentimes just conservative type of worship where nobody says anything, it does very little but protect our ego, okay? Just something to consider. God wants us to give him the praise he deserves, and he wants our passion. Psalm 35, verse 18 is where we see this word, I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will praise. I will hallel you before all the people. The next word that we see is the word yada. Now that's yada, not Yoda. Yoda's that little green guy. Okay, got to get this right. Yada. And that is to acknowledge in public. And the word for this is as if you were in a classroom and you know the answer, you're going to raise your hand. Acknowledge me. I got it. I know the answer. I got it going on, teacher. Here I am, right here. Look, notice me. Here, right? And so there's this acknowledgement. Well, and you say, well, I don't get that in church. Why you got to raise your hands in church? Well, look, I didn't write the book. God wrote the book, right? And if God says it's okay, if God said stand on your head and twirl like a top, you know, that he likes that style of worship, I'd do it. But he didn't write that, so I'm not doing it. I'm just saying. But it talks about lifting up hands, right? Right? So we've got, listen, here's the thing. We've got to be careful in a generation that's pulling away from what God says and doing what we want and what we feel. There's a progressive move that says, I'm just going to do what I want, and that doesn't work for me, so I'm going to pull away and find my own thing. What God's looking for is a generation that says, look, if God wrote it, I don't completely understand it, but hey, if he likes it, let's give it to him. Come on, let's just follow him. Let's follow him, and he's going to always lead us to a good place. Everybody good there? All right. And so we give him this praise, and we're acknowledging him. And is there a purpose? Well, who doesn't want to be acknowledged, right? Even in a football game, right? I mean, score, touchdown, right? They got the point, right? So there's a purpose in that. Look at Psalm 138, verse 1. It's where we find the word yada. I will praise you, I will yada you, O Lord, with all of my heart. The third word is this, and that's the word Barak. And yes, it is the first name of our president, Barak, same word. And it simply means to bless by kneeling or bowing. By kneeling or bowing. This is found in Psalm 103 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, with my will and with my emotions, all my inmost being, I'm going to Barak, his holy name. So it's a beautiful expression of bowing before him, of kneeling before him, of acknowledging who he is. Another word is the word Zamar, which means making music to God with strings. Yeah, there you go. I heard a worship leader go, woo, right there. And really, when you look at the context of a lot of this, is where that is used. I mean, he's really saying, pluck them bad boys. He's not saying, give me some of that acoustic spa music. He says, I mean, think about it. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say our God is cool, y'all. I mean, he wants, bring it, right? Okay. So Psalm 92, verse 1 says this, it is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, O Most High. I want to just inject this scripture right here. It's found in Psalm 150, verses 3 through 5. And this word here is using the word hallel. But I want you to look at this with me. It says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him and lyre. That's not the lyre. It's a musical instrument. Okay, all right. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Come on. I mean, are you seeing this? This is thousands of years ago. We call it contemporary now. It's really traditional music. It's really traditional. It's really biblical worship is what that is. I mean, look at this. With the tambourine. I always hate when those showed up in church because the person playing it never could hold the beat. Anyway, and dancing. And dancing. Now, I don't know how y'all grew up. I grew up, you did not dance. Two things you didn't do. You didn't dance and you didn't play cards. Okay? We were so afraid of dancing, we thought that premarital sex may lead to dancing. Just saying. Dancing. What am I saying? What we're saying is God likes you to get a little air time going on. All right? Now, I know this might be over the top for some of you, and I get that because we're used to our tradition. I'm looking at what the Bible says, okay? So if this looks a little strange, guess what? It's actually traditional. For some of you, I said this last week, some of you, I know, start where you are. It may just be your toe right now, but let it work its way up. Get the tap going on. It'll work its way up, you know, right? Come on. Carry the TV. Y'all know that, don't you? Carry the TV. Right? Hold the baby, you know, carry the TV, and then you get on up to the touchdown. Anyway, praise him with the strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him, and look at this. He says, praise him with the clash of cymbals. There you go, Darlene. Darlene's a music major over here at UNC Charlotte playing our drums. All right, play with the cymbals, and then look, he just emphasizes it again. He says, praise him with a clash of cymbals. And he says it again, praise him with the resounding cymbals. I mean, play it loud. And some of you say, well, this is just way too loud. You're not going to like heaven. You've heard about those people who have those afterlife experiences, you know, they get to heaven and come back and tell about it. I've heard that said that the worship is so loud in heaven, it's like the loudest waterfall you've ever heard, okay? Bring earplugs to heaven. I'm just saying, bring them, all right? I mean, think about it. What would it be like on Saturday? Go back to Saturday, your football game, right? What would it be like on Saturday that you got 90,000 fans there and you're going, trying to watch a football game here. Quiet down, I can't concentrate. No, you're so loud you can't hardly hear each other because you're excited about what's going on. Guess what? I'm excited about him, and we need to express our praise in a way to him that he deserves. Amen. All right, let's move on. Shabbat. Shabbat is the next word. And if you say it right, you got to kind of get a kernel of popcorn in your throat and say, Shabbat. Don't try that. You'll make the person's hair wet in front of you there. But it means to address in a loud tone, to shout. Shabbat. Psalm 63 says this, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will Shabbat. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will, there it is, I will lift up my hands. Come on, right, everybody? I know I get excited for my football team. Actually, truth be told, my football team's the Seminoles. Don't judge me, all right? I went there, all right? And so one clap, my son back there, he grew up that way. I trained him that way, even though he's a graduate of UNC Charlotte, But here's the thing. I have to catch myself on Saturday nights when I'm so mad I can't stand it. You know, just quit. Why do you have to stop playing? Why do you have to go up the middle on the first every down? I mean, and why do you have to go up the middle on the first down every time? You know, and I'm shouting. You know, I have to catch myself. And here's what we need to determine, that we're not going to shout louder for a football team who doesn't even know who we are, no more than we're going to shout for our God whose name we know, who knows our name. But come on, everybody. I told you church is supposed to be fun. All right. Next word is todah. And it's the second time you see this reference to the same kind of thing, and that's to lift hands in adoration. Two of the seven praise words has to do with raising hands. But this one is not like the first one where it says, ooh, I acknowledge you. But this is an adoration of surrender. It's as if somebody is coming up to you with a gun and you say, hey, I give up. I give up, right? I surrender. And it's really what it's about. In fact, oftentimes at our church, sometimes I'll say, come on, just open your hands before God. Just open your hands. And what am I trying to do there? I'm trying to lead you to this todah, this place where you have a place where you surrender, where you're open to God, and you're saying, God, I just give you my life. I've done it my way. It doesn't work. I'm giving it to you. I just surrender to you. I want you to have control of my life. Look at Psalm 50, verse 23. He who offers praise, that's todah there, glorifies me. He glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation right, I will show the salvation of God. And so then, that's todah, right? Let me give you one more. It's tehillah. It's pronounced like tequila, but it's not. It gets the same effect, but it's not the same. No, I mean, it's exuberant singing. And it's kind of funny the way it's used in Scripture here in Psalm 34, verse 1, seeing that it sounds like tequila. I will extol the Lord at all times. Tehillah will always be on my lips. Now, some of you are going, I got my verse. No. That's another message for another day. All right. I will extol the Lord. Look, his praise, exuberant singing, will always be on my lips. Psalm 108 says this, verses 1 and verse 3. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing I will give praise. Look at this. That's the word zamar. And then even with my glory. And he goes on to say, I will praise Yada, thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to Helah, unto thee among the nations. Isn't that beautiful? See all those words there. God's, and that's the kind of God, worship. Listen, God wrote this book. He just used the pen of David, right? Write this down. Worship is love expressed. It's not in your message notes, but just write it down somewhere. Worship is love expressed. So let's look at that. It's not worship if it's not love. And it's not worship if it's not expressed. It's love expressed. You can't just be saying, oh, God, well, I love you in my heart. I love God in my heart. That's like me saying to my wife, baby, I love you. I'm not going to ever tell you, and I'm not going to touch you, but I love you. I'm not going to get near you, but I touch you. I love you. I love you. I'm not going to. You know there will be, come on, hair, teeth, and eyeballs all over the place. She ain't going for that, right? You got to, yeah, listen, you can't just say, God, I love you in my heart, but you know how I feel. I don't want to express it. No, worship is love expressed. And get this, whenever you love someone, you love the way the person receives that love. There's a beautiful book written called Love Languages, where you discover what the other person's love language is. Sometimes we're speaking different languages and we don't understand each other because one receives love a different way than you do, right? Right? Like, for one, words. From another, needs to hear it. Another one doesn't want to hear it. Another one wants to see it. Give me some acts of service over here, you know. Like, I mean, my wife, I like that you're a lover boy, but I want you to be the lawn boy sometime too, right? Right? Show it to me. So that's her love language is acts of service. So if I love her, instead of just speaking it the way I want to speak it, go on, baby, you love me. No, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to serve. I'm going to speak her love language for her to understand that I love her. Well, God has a love language. And so what did Jesus then say about all of this? So I want you to look with me in Mark chapter 12. One of the teachers, in verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? I want you to get this. This guy, I think it was a very, very, very good question. Here's a guy who's saying, look, I'm having a little trouble here. Because, see, there were not just 10 commandments. There was 440 commandments, okay? And, God, I'm having a hard time getting all this. And can you just, is there some that's more important that I could just focus on those? Very, very good question. To which Jesus didn't say, well, I can't do it. You'd think it would just do them all. No, Jesus didn't. He said, actually, I can do that. I can do that. And so look at his response. He says, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And the most important one, Jesus answered, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay? Now look at this. He says this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he said, now if you do this one, just loving God, it makes the others a lot easier. And here's the thing. And you may think Christianity is very hard, and here's what we've done oftentimes. We've missed this one, and it's almost impossible to do the others unless you do this one. In fact, he goes on to say, on this, all the law and the prophets hang on this one thing, to love the Lord. And oftentimes we've been doing it wrong. I've been trying to follow all these rules. I've been trying to do all these things, and Christianity is all about these rules and that I got to do and I got to adhere to, and I don't think I can do that. And it's hard. Yes, it's hard. And if it's hard, there may be a reason why it's hard. You see, if you're in love with Jesus, it becomes easy. It's not about the rules, it's about the relationship. And when you got the relationship going on and you're loving him, guess what? You just want to do these things. It just happens. It's just natural. It becomes easy. It's no longer hard. So if Christianity is hard to you, I challenge you with the question, are you really in love with Jesus? Because if you are in love with Jesus, it will change everything, right? So we got to fall in love with Jesus again, understand who he is and that he loves us and receive his love. It makes everything. Listen, it's the secret of Christianity. It's the secret sauce. A lot of people, listen, Christianity has been, and God has been, so misrepresented. You know, we get fingers pointed at us. You got to do this, 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 boom, boom, line up. You better smell right, look right, talk right, do right, you know. And guess what? My job isn't to get you to change your behavior through the week. Come back, you messed up, let's see if we can work on that again. No, my job is to take you on a journey to a place where you can discover a relationship with a living God that you fall in love with. And guess what? You begin to change from the inside out like we sung about this morning, right? There's a big difference. If it's not working, it may be you're on the outside trying to work him into the inside. It doesn't work that way. We love him, and it changes everything. Didn't mean to get preachy there, but here I go. It's passionate, all right? So I want you to look at this. Let's look at these three things in closing. Let's break these three things down, all right? Number one, he says, love the Lord with all your heart and soul. And so what is he saying there? That is expressing my affection to God. Write that down. Expressing my affection to God. I love this. You see, God doesn't really want your song service. He's not really after your hands being raised or your singing or even your dancing. God really doesn't want all that. You know what he really wants? He just wants you. He just wants you. So it's not about all those things. It's not all about all the doing. He just wants you. And so those things are just expressing something that's already happening on the inside. It's not spiritual calisthenics. It's that we're in love with God and we're expressing our affection to God. And so I would ask the question then, or get you to ask yourself this question, and that is, what do I love most? Look at the trail. What do I love most? Second thing he says is that we're to love the Lord with all of your mind, right? So he's talking about there is, where do we focus our attention? Do I focus my attention on God? Write that down, attention, right? Is our mind on him? I believe God just wants us throughout the day just to say, hey, God, I'm thinking about you. I talked about this the other week. You know, what does he want? It's when you wake up in the morning, you look up at that big thing that comes up every morning called the sun, and you say, God, you are awesome. Thank you for that. They were thinking about him. That he's not just a Sunday God, but he's with us everywhere we go throughout our day, right? Thinking about us. I mean, let me just give you this scenario. What would it be like if I were going to a meeting and I get a phone call from my wife? And I'm on the way, and she calls me, hey, what? And I say, hey, what's up, babe? What's up? You know, I'm about to go in this meeting. You know, and you know she can tell I'm in a hurry. I got, you know, get to the point. I got to go in this meeting. What do you need? And she says, oh, nothing. I'm just thinking about you. I'm coming home right now. That's what I'm doing. This guy, I can have lunch with him anytime. You know, I'm on my way. I mean, you know, hey, come on. I ain't no dummy. All right. I got a couple kids. You know what I'm saying? I'll be saying, hey, I'm coming home. I probably should go in the meeting, but I'm just saying. Because she's thinking about me. I mean, she just called to say she's thinking about me. Don't you know that that's what God wants? Us to look at him and say, hey, God, I'm going to this meeting right now. Hey, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. I love you. Thank you for everything you do for me. I go in this meeting. I'll catch you later. But God, I want you to know, I can't wait to talk to you some more. Come on. Don't you think maybe that's what Paul was talking about when he said to pray without ceasing? You're in relationship with him everywhere you go. Guys, I remember being on campus at Florida State, and I remember a lot of craziness going on. Come on. It was a party school. All right. Sorry for those that are listening online if you go to Florida State. Wasn't that bad. when I was there, but it had seen its days. And there are pockets, okay? And I remember walking down the road by myself, and I said, God, they don't know it, but I'm having a party right now with you. You're holding my hands. I'm walking down the street. That's a little strange, isn't it? No, it's not strange. That's what God wants. He wants us to have a relationship with him. All right, let's move on real quickly. And then he says, with all your strength, with all your strength. Well, let me back up. I didn't get the question. And that is this, and that is, what do I think about most? So write that down. What do I think about most? What's on your mind? What occupies your mind? Number three, in closing, we're to worship him with all your strength, all your strength. And so we are, that. What is that talking about? Use my abilities for God. Use my abilities. So whatever you do, whatever you put your hands to, you do it all as unto the Lord. You're going to do it with all your heart. It's acts of service. I'm out there mowing the yard for my wife, whatever. I'm going to do it all. I'm going all in. And that's what it's talking about, with all of our strength. And so the question there is this: what do I do the most? What do I do the most? And I don't know, you may be one that's trying to figure out what it is you are supposed to be doing. I encourage you to come today after we dismiss today. We've got 301. You don't have to start in 101. You can start today on Discovery 301, and we'll help you, take you through. It's the most fun of all of the four that we do in our growth track. And that happens right after church. We'll feed you. There's a meal. College students say food. Yeah. And there's food that you don't even have to go anywhere. We'll feed you today. You can go through the growth track. We'll take you through a personality thing and a gift thing. And it really helps you find out who you are and help you know about the doing part. But we're to worship God, look, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. I want to give you one verse in closing. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, not in your notes. I believe somebody needs to hear this today. This is God speaking. It's from the Message, just to make it plain. He says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. There was a basketball team recently that their slogan was all in, all in. I don't know about you, but I want to be all in with him. All in. You know why? He was all in for me. He laid it all down. He went all in. He left it all and gave it all just so I could know him. Anybody that does that for me, I'm ready to go all in for him. Today I want to help lead you today to a place where you can just go all in. In fact, next week, I'm going to be sharing a message. Next week's going to be not in a series, but it's going to be a standalone message before we start our new series in the fall. I encourage you to come back next week, because next week you're going to hear some of what we do around here as a church and why we do it and our vision. It's going to be Vision Sunday. So I encourage you to come back. If you want to say, well, I don't get this, I want to know what this is about, come back next week. But one of the things I want to encourage, even this fall, is we go all in, go all in. But maybe you're here today and you just, maybe this thing's been hard for you. It could be. But you need to discover this place of surrender, falling in love with him, letting him come into your life and change your life. Today, I want to give a wonderful opportunity. I want to lead you in a prayer in closing. In fact, right now, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, and here's what I'm going to do. I want to just lead you to this place of inviting him into your life, becoming the love of your life, surrendering to him. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm just going to help lead you in a simple prayer. It's not my prayer, it's your prayer. I'm just helping you with the words. You just like, all you got to do is mean it. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. But while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that's you, and you say, Pastor, I know I'm in a place where I need to draw close to God. I need him in my life. Maybe you've never been in a relationship with him, or maybe you have been, but you know it's not where it needs to be. Either way, I want to help lead you in that prayer. But that's you today. Say, Pastor, if that's you when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? I'd just simply like you to slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. Just want to know who I'm agreeing with. If that's you here today, just very bold. Come on, be bold. Just slip up a hand. Say, Pastor, when you pray, would you count me in that prayer? God bless you today. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. All right where you're seated. If you need to pray this prayer, in fact, even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to pray it, I want you to join with us in this prayer. And here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like us all to pray this prayer just as support for those that need to pray it. And let's just pray out loud together. Come on, just let me lead you in this. Just let it be your words, but mean it. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, today. Come on, everybody. I come to you. I believe in you. I'm asking you to come in my life and make me brand new. Today I turn from my way to come to you and be a worshiper with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. Come on, say this. Say, I give you my life. Thank you, Jesus, for paying my sin debt so I wouldn't have to. So I accept your gift of life. Thank you for a new beginning today. Today I declare you as Lord. Today I'm going all in. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer and accepted you into their heart and their life. God, I thank you for coming in and making everything brand new along with the angels in heaven according to your word. I rejoice with them, Lord, over these that have made the best decision of their life. Lord, I pray for them. God, I pray for them that they'll go in, they'll run the play, that they'll do everything you've called them to do, Lord. God, not because they are, Lord, manipulated, but because everything's changed from the inside out. Give them new loves. Give them new passions. Give them new direction. And, Lord, give them peace for the journey, God, that only comes through knowing you. I pray for this church. Help us to be the most passionate church, God, that this area has ever known, God. Let us be all in love with Jesus and loving others as you called us to. And, God, we give you all the credit for all accomplished in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give God praise today. Thank you, Lord. For changed lives. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome.